I'm always glad that I'm invited to be here. First of all, by the Lord. And when I'm invited by the Lord, I always wonder sometimes, what in the world am I going to say? But when I'm settled on what the Lord has given me, I'm quite pleased about it. Jodell, Joey, I want you to listen to this little story. We've all heard it. The little girl, about 7 or 8 years of age, she was in an airplane with her daddy and the rest of the family. I believe there were 5 of them in there. We've all heard the story on the TV. But the airplane crashed in the woods of Arkansas, somewhere up there. She was the sole survivor, the little girl. I forget what her name was. But her mother and her daddy and her sister and her cousin were all killed in the airplane crash. She managed to crawl out through a window somewhere, and there was a little fire going out there, and she thought she could light a branch and use it as a light so that she could walk through the woods or something. And there are many things that I can say about this, but we don't have the time. But her fire that she started went out, so she had no light on that occasion. The fire went out. And, well, I heard 2 or 3 different stories. Every time a reporter spoke, well, the story was a little different. And she noticed that there was a light in the distance. Now, I'm speculating that. Because she wasn't but 1/4 mile away from it, about. Some of the reporters, when I first started hearing the story, they were talking about 1 mile. And some of them were talking about 3/4 of a mile. And they were assuming and making the assumption that the little girl probably walked that far, even though the light was about 1/4 of a mile long, far away. Because these woods were full of briars and heavy brush and trees, and there was no way she could walk straight through it, so they assumed she walked 1 mile. But one thing about it is that she kept on walking toward that light. Her dad had taught her, her father had taught her. And they had, the whole family were outdoors type people, and they were taught that if you ever get lost in the woods like that and it's night and there's a light, I'm speculating and assuming this, and I think I'm right about it, but he taught them to walk toward the light. And that's what she did. Now, if she had walked any other way, she'd have been lost. They'd have probably never found. One guy said that she'd have got out there, probably froze to death, and it had taken a week for them to find her, and she would have probably died out there in the woods, and et cetera, et cetera. But she saw that light out there. She continued to go toward that light. She got to where the light was, and there was an old man there and by the name of Mr. Wilson, and he heard the little girl knocking on the front door. He went out there to check on her, and sure, he didn't even hear her. In fact, his dog was barking. Speaking of dogs, I get tired of my neighbor's dog barking. So, but then, there's some benefits there also. Now, my throat gives out, forgive me. I'll try to tell you what I'm trying to tell you. But he went out there and she was all scratched up and bloody face and she was barefooted and she had no coat and it was cold and drizzling rain but what brought her there was the light. I'm glad that we have a light to go by. This is our light right here. We have many occasions in our lifetime when we need to be looking for the light. We don't always know what the outcome of searching for that light will be. What the outcome of that event will be. But we know this one thing. Keep looking for the light. In John 13, I'm going to read one scripture, and I have several other scriptures, and I'll come back here later if you want to hold that place there. John 13, verse 7. This is right after the occasion where in verse 6 where it said, Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Now, we're not here to discuss talking about washing his feet because I don't want you washing my stinking feet. The first person, if I had to wash them, the first person to wash them would be Bruce. But in verse 7, listen to this verse, Joey. Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Peter, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, there's a lot of things that happen in our life. We don't know how it's going to turn out. I wish you could sense what I feel like when I see that. Brother Jordan, I know what we're to do. We're to continue to look at the light. God's Word. Now, what we're really talking about is the providence of God. That's what I'm trying to get down to. About 2 weeks ago, we talked about the sovereignty of God. And we've talked about it several times around here lately. The sovereignty of God. And I started looking at this word, the providence of God. And I said, well, it's the same thing. But it's not. Not quite. I'll say this. Right up front, the providence of God comes from a sovereign God. So that's what we need to remember. The word providence can be defined like this. It has three different parts in it. And the word P-R-O, providence, I'll stay out of the video. P-R-O stands before. Before the foundation of the world, God knew exactly where you were going to plant your foot this morning. Providence means video. And we remember the word provide. Whatever the case. It means that before you ever existed, He saw us. He knew us. Just like a video. That's what the word Proverbs means. providence. I couldn't even spell it at first. But I was confused about it, Brother Jordan, because when I looked at it, I said, well, what's the difference here? Well, the more I studied it, I believe it cleared up in my mind what it was all about. And I've already stated it. He knew us before the foundation of the world, Joey. That's what providence means. Sometimes something happens to us and we'll say, well, why did this happen to us? Lord, why am I involved in this situation? Lord, you know I belong to you. I said, why did you let such a thing happen? Right? And he said right there in that verse, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. It's amazing how many times something happens to us in our life down the road somewhere. It's revealed to us why it happened that way. I'm already getting off my subject. One time I met a man in Bentley, Louisiana, Brother Paul Jordan. I just met him. I shook hands with him. Hello there, brother. Oh, yeah, we live in Houston. You live in Tomball? That's great. Do you remember that, brother? I remember it. But I didn't make anything about it. But making a long story short, later on, I began to feel like I was in the wrong place in Pine Grove Baptist Church. Not condemning them. Not complaining about them. Not saying anything about them. God just had something else for me. And it took him 2 years to convince me that I was to be part of this church, Brother Jordan. But what I'm talking about is providence. To God, it's not a providence. To me, it was a providence. The providence part is that I met Brother Jordan there. And when I began to have problems, mostly my part, brother, spiritual problems, the Lord began to deal with me about it. The Holy Spirit came to me, so I began to visit Brother Jordan's church. Not his church. It's God's church. But the Lord dealt with me, Joey. And he directed me out here. And when I began to come out here and visit with you, I began to see the light. Now, I'm not going to go any further with that story, but sometime after that, well, I come out here and I became a part of this church. I could see all along the way it was the providence of God. I could start back when I lived in Angleton 40 years ago and see how he's maneuvered me along the way. And God will do that to every single one of us. He'll maneuver us. And I don't like the word maneuver, brother, really. But having a finite mind, which I have finite, let me describe finite. That means real small. They're real small, Bruce. But our God will maneuver us through life and place us right where He wants us to be. And if we belong to Him, He will put us in the event and on that occasion, Steve, exactly where He wants us, doing the thing He wants us to do. The providence of God was involved in our ministry and our fellowship with you out here. Can I see that? In Joshua chapter 2, about the second verse, I believe it is, well, Joshua sent two spies out there. Now, the Bible doesn't always tell us every single detail. So forgive me if you think I'm speculating and saying something out of place. But you see, when Joshua sent those two spies out there, he didn't give them an address to that harlot's house. They didn't have a GPS. But they wound up in that harlot's house out there. Not because they were looking for a harlot. They were looking for a place to stay at night. And they were accepted there. The providence of God. That's exactly what it was. Now from all eternity, that providence came from a sovereign God. Do you understand the difference yet? I had trouble understanding the difference there at first. I said, well, all that is a sovereignty of God. But the more I say, it's His events, it's His actions. And when we look back on it, we say, well, it's the providence of God. There are several other providences that took place on that particular occasion, but I want to go to another one. Last Tuesday night, recently, sometime shortly, we were talking about Jonah. They threw Jonah overboard because they blamed all the problems on him. And along came a great fish, and swallowed him. Now, Jonah didn't jump overboard because that fish was there. He didn't know that great fish was there. The people on that boat didn't know that great fish was there. But God sent that fish along there to teach. Well, there's several things we can say there. To teach Jonah a lesson. Things happen sometime in our life to teach us a lesson. And it's usually the providence of God. He knows how we will stray away from His Word. But He'll put us back on track real quick if you'll listen to Him. How do we listen to God? We listen to Him through His Word. That's the reason we memorize verses. That's the reason we read. I told you about the guy that read the Bible 100 times. He probably didn't learn a thing. He's a precious man. He had to learn something if he read it 100 times, Steve. I learned something by it. I need to read the scripture more often. But it was a very sovereign God that was going to put Jonah out there proclaiming, telling those Ninevites to repent. And they did. They repented later. But Jonah didn't want to go out there because he didn't like those people. He said, God, you ought to kill all of them. And that's sometimes the way I feel about my enemies. I had one time, and I'm not going to tell you what his name was or who he was. Brother Jordan will probably figure it out. But I wish he would get on an airplane, and that airplane would crash and kill him. I said, Lord, you could take him out of the picture. It didn't happen. But I knew enough and I said, Lord, he's in your hands. You take care of him. And that's what God did. That God took care of him. And he's still taking care of him. Well, I'm going to try to give you a little brief indication of the definition of providence. one divine writing a commentary, and I say divine because I don't remember what his name is now. But he stated, and he said, all things are sustained and directed and controlled by God. I believe God's Word teaches that. I didn't have to quote His Word to know that God's Word tells me that. He's in control. He said all things. God's Word teaches all things. I told you in the beginning, every place you put your foot, God's in control of it. The majority of the denominations and even Sovereign Grace churches today don't believe that He's in full control. I believe that. Because I see it, the way they act. And sometimes I wonder if I believe it. I hope you're not saying that about me, brother. But God is in control. That we can go to Him and recognize Him as our God and our Savior. And say, Lord, we're going to look at the light a little more carefully. We're going to go toward the light, Joey. We're going to always read that scripture. Whatever it says, we're going to follow after it. When it tells us to turn to the left or to the right, that's exactly what we're going to do. But that's so hard to do. I have trouble doing it. You know, we could think about how does the providence of God play in the history of this world? Every place that more places than what's written down in a history book. Then we could ask our own selves. And I've already told you about a little bit about how the Lord has brought me to this place. But how has the providence of God brought us to this point in our life? And we shouldn't flee that point, but we should be obedient to His direction. When He says, turn to the left, I forget where that scripture is, brother. It's in the Jeremiah. Somewhere over there. You can't remember either. But we should carefully and obediently turn to the left or turn to the right. And whether it quotes that expression exactly or not, it doesn't matter. We know all of God's Word teaches us to be obedient to Him. Paul said in the New Testament, we're not just talking about the Old Testament. God's Word is just as true in the New Testament as the Old Testament. He said, Paul says, I am what I am by God's grace. And that's what we are. It's His grace that places us. But it's God's grace that brought me to this place here. I don't want you glorying in it. God brought me here. And that word, once again, I'll go back to that word. Once again, providence. The word vince is translated, and in some places it means video. It means He sees. He sees beforehand. Example. All illustrations that man comes up with break down, Brother Jordan. They break down somewhere. God's illustrations and commands don't break down. I know my light bill is coming every month at about the same time, and they're going to want so much money. And Linda goes online, and she can find out exactly what that bill is going to be before we even get the copy of it in the mail. We know it's coming, so we can set so much money aside to take care of it beforehand. And the illustration's already breaking down. But that's the way God is. He's known from eternity past what our situations of life are. And He lays it out in front of us. And if we decide that we're not going to go toward the light, I'm speaking of those that belong to Him, if we're not going to go toward the light, well, we're going to get stuck with a thorn somewhere. God is greater than we are. Why did I write that down? He is. His decisions are always better than my decisions, for sure. God provides before it ever happens. I remember one day at Pine Grove, we were praying for this particular brother that was having difficulties, and he was late for church. And we know that day he wasn't in church, and we began to pray about him showing up and being in church, Brother Jordan, and just as we begin to pray for him, he walks in the back door. Was that the providence of God? Some way it was. I might not fully understand it. I could have always said, well, let me tell you the joke that my dad told me one time. He said he was a little boy and he was up on this metal roof of this building. A little barn out there, and it was real hot. But he started hollering and screaming because it was hot, and his mother run out there to him and started talking to him about how to get off that roof of the house. And he accidentally began to slide down the roof, and he fell off the roof. That's not the right story. The right story is, his pants hung up on a nail on the way down. And he said, and he was talking to the Lord about not letting him fall off that roof. And he said, never mind, Lord, a nail caught me. And that's the way we think. Never mind, Lord, somebody sent me a check in the mail. Right, Bruce. But it was of the Lord. J.I. Packer says, and it teaches us in the Scripture once again, he's not astray. We know this is so. He said, God is doing what He wills. And that will is a purpose that's going to do one thing, and that's glorify and honor Him. Well, I'm going to skip part of this because I'm running out of time. I'm already out there. But in Genesis 22, the Lord come to Abraham. Take your son out there on that mountain and kill him. So without blinking an eye, Abraham was obedient to him. Abraham took him out there. He went for that mountain, and he never blinked his eye. He never hesitated. He never questioned what was taking place. He obediently raised that knife to strike dead his son and kill him. There was no hesitation on his part. And you know what God did in verse 6 of that chapter? He said, God will provide. A lamb. I don't know whether it's a ram or lamb. Whatever the case, the Lord made provision. And he didn't. But would he have been acting in complete faith if he had ever hesitated, blinked his eyes, and laid down his eyes, and wanted to, Lord, let's discuss this. No, that's not what happened. He believed in God. And in the book of Hebrews, well, we find the rest of the story. He had faith in the matter. And we're to always have that faith in the Lord. So remember this. The Lord always provides for His elect, for those that belong to Him, for the saints of God. It's by His providence that He reveals how much of a sovereign God He is. I'm going to stop right there because of my time. May the Lord bless you and keep you before my voice gives away.
Well, I was enjoying thinking about that providence of God. That's something I really, really do enjoy thinking about. Because, let's face it, not any of us know what tomorrow holds. This is our light. Because it's that which directs us to God, especially in the Lord Christ. But I tell you what, none of us know what's going to happen to us, even in the next few minutes, for that matter. But we learn by this to trust Him. And then we learn by experiencing His providence to trust Him. And that's where our peace comes in then. And our joy. Our salvation comes in that. Because we do learn then that all things, that's a broad statement, isn't it? All things work together, right? For the good of them that love God, that are the called according to what? His purpose. And He is the one that tells the end from the beginning. Wonder how He can do that, Brother Jerry. Because He is going to guide us, isn't He? As the proverb says, He will guide us with His counsel, and afterward receive us to glory. What a wonderful thought this is. Thankfully, He is greater than we are. And He overcomes all of our doubts and sometimes fears. And we're going to talk about those fears a little bit in just a few minutes. But He always does for His people. But you know, God's providence also works in the lives of the unbeliever. Judas Iscariot was not there by accident. He was not chosen by Christ by accident. He was just as much foreordained from before the foundation of the world to be the deceiver of Jesus Christ as Peter was to make that great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Peter, how did you know that? Well, the Father taught him, didn't he? And he teaches us all things according to his divine will and pleasure and purpose, and he guides us accordingly. So, sometimes, and especially I believe, as far as myself is concerned, especially in those times when, I have to bear the reproach of Christ. You wonder, well, Lord, why? Why is this? You're the Almighty God. You're sovereign in all things. Why do we have to go through this? But what did you say last Thursday night, Bruce? How did Jesus learn obedience? By the things that he suffered. You understand, there's no way to learn obedience except by the things that you suffer. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. The heart is made better not by feasting, but the heart is made better through that trouble. And so that's the work of God. It's the providence of God according to his great wisdom. All right, I think that's good. I appreciate that, brother. I thank you for reminding us of that and talking about it this morning. And it blesses my soul again to just meditate upon the greatness of the providence of our God. We're here today by according to his will, and thankful for it.